All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for allowing us to gather. Some of us have had the best day ever. Most of us have had a really hard day with the first day of school. And we pray that you would encourage us tonight through your word. We believe your word is true. We believe your word is helpful for everything in life, that your word is alive and living, and it even speaks into us on rough days that are hard and overwhelming. And so as we turn our attention to your word, would you speak to us? And we pray this in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. For 7 years, I worked at a company called UPS. Raise your hand if you've heard of UPS. All right, cool. At UPS, I worked in a warehouse, and my job was to unload trucks and also to load trucks. So let me tell you this. If you ever work at UPS, it is much easier to unload a truck than to load a truck, because when you're unloading, you're just taking boxes and throwing them or setting them on the conveyor belt, right? But if you're loading trucks, you don't get to set the pace. You get the pace set by whoever is like the fast guy unloading, and they're coming. So I loaded trucks for a long time, and it was so miserable, because here's what would happen. I'd get a box and I'd look at it, and I'd have to determine, okay, which truck does this go on? I had like 3 or 4 trucks, and I'd get it and I'd set it on that truck, and then I'd turn around and there's more boxes, and then I've got to figure out, and before I know it, there's like a pile, like a mountain of boxes just kind of everywhere sitting around. When you're unloading, you just kind of wherever they go. But it was the most overwhelming thing. You can ask my wife. It was just an overwhelming thing. I had these nightmares when I worked there that boxes were like falling all over me. Like, and I still have those. Maybe you feel that way. Maybe you felt that way before. Like maybe today was an overwhelming day for you. And you feel like it never stops. And in a couple of weeks when tests start coming in a couple of months, it's going to feel like, man, it just never stops. And that's sort of the feeling that our passage conveys tonight with Jesus and his disciples, okay? So we're going to read it in a moment, but the main point of this passage tonight is that Jesus is showing his disciples who he really is, that even in the midst of overwhelming circumstances, he is God. He's showing them that he is the God who is over the good things that come our way, but he's also the God who's big enough and powerful enough to be in charge of the hard things that come our way. Okay? So Mark chapter 6, verse 45 through 52. Mark 6, verse 45 through 52. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side to Bethsaida, while he dismissed the crowd. After he said goodbye to the crowd, to them, he went away to the mountain to pray. Verse 47, well into the night, the boat was in the middle of the sea, and Jesus, he was alone on the land. He saw his disciples, straining at the oars, because the wind was against them. Very early in the morning, he came walking on the sea. He came to them walking on the sea. Like, that should shock us. Maybe we've heard it. It's not shocking anymore. Jesus came walking on the sea, and then he wanted to pass by them. Verse 49, when they saw him walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost and cried out. Verse 50, because they all saw him and were terrified. Immediately he spoke with them and said, have courage, it is I. Don't be afraid. Then he got into the boat with them, and the wind ceased. They were completely astounded because they had not understood about the loaves. Instead, their hearts were hardened. Okay, this is a very familiar passage. I'm going to say 3 things from this passage tonight. The first one is Jesus prays for you. Jesus prays for you. The second thing is going to be that Jesus sees your circumstances. And the last thing is going to be that Jesus speaks truth to your heart. So the first thing is Jesus prays for you. And we see that in verse 45 through 47. The first word in verse 45. What's the first word in verse 45? Somebody yell it out. Immediately. That means right away. And I want to give you a little bit of context for that. So immediately means right after what just happened, right? If I tell you to leave, if I yell at Dakota, get out of here, and he leaves immediately, he would have to tell them, why are you outside on the sidewalk and everybody's inside? He said, Jacob told me to leave. I was just inside. Okay, anyway, that's a weird way to explain what immediately means. What happens right before this? Somebody raise your hand if you think you know it, or look in your Bible if you think you can see it there. What happens? Jesus has just fed 5,000 people, right? And if you look even further back in Mark chapter 6, Jesus had sent out his 12 disciples to go and heal people. Raise your hand if you've ever healed somebody. That's crazy. They also cast out demons. They also preached the gospel. And these 12 disciples came back to Jesus. Imagine how excited you would be if you had healed a guy. That would be exciting. If you cast out a demon, they came back excited to Jesus, but they came back tired. And so Jesus said to these guys, he said, you 12, I'm so proud of you. Let's get away to a desolate place to pray, right? And so they go to a desolate place, but who follows them? 5,000 men and their families, this multitude of people. So they can't even get a break. You feel like you're tired after the first day of school. These people were exhausted, and 5,000 people show up. Raise your hand if you've ever worked in a restaurant. It's tough waiting on people. If you got 5 people, that's tough. You got 10 people. Imagine having 5,000 people show up out of nowhere and only 12 people to serve them. That's what happened. They're overwhelmed. So immediately after that, after the disciples had served this multitude, after they had picked up how many baskets full of leftovers? 12, a basket each. Maybe they took those baskets when Jesus said, immediately get on the boat. So immediately they get on the boat. These guys are tireder than a fireder. These guys are sleepier than a reaper, okay? Those are not real nouns, but I made them up. They're super tired. They have had a really, really rough week. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat. I love that it says he made them. Some of them might have been like kind of whiny, like, we're pretty tired. We got some food here, Jesus. Let's sit here. But he made them get into the boat. And I love this, maybe looking at it from like God's perspective. Jesus knew that they were going into a storm, and he still made them get in it. And Jesus was big enough to say, I can send you into a storm, and I'll still be in control. So immediately he made his disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he dismissed the crowd. So Jesus tells the crowd, peace out, bros. I fed you. Hope you love it. But I need to go be with my Father. And it says in verse 46, after he said goodbye to them, he went away to the mountain to do what? To pray. Jesus craved time alone with his Father. Is that true in your life? Do you crave, like, if you miss, like, your daily quiet time, do you just miss that and just crave that time alone with the Father? And Jesus went up to the mountain and he prayed. He prayed a long time. It says in verse 47, it says he prayed well into the night. So Jesus, it's getting dark. They feed those people. Then he tells his disciples, get in the boat, go to the other side, and I'm going to go up on the mountain. He prays. I like to think about, like, if I was there, what would I be thinking? Like, if I was one of the disciples, like, Jesus, we're going to get in the boat and go over there like you told us, but what about you? What are you doing, Jesus? I wonder if the disciples were thinking, you know, maybe Jesus is going to walk around the lake. Maybe Jesus is going to catch another boat. I think the last thing on their mind, as we'll see in a moment, the last thing on their mind was Jesus is probably going to walk on water, right? That's what we expect now because we know the rest of the story, but they didn't know that. So well into the night, the boat was in the middle of the sea. Raise your hand if you think you know the name of the sea he was on. Some of you that grew up in church, what is it? Boom! That's right. Good. Good answer. What's your name? Sarah, you're awesome. You got it. So the Sea of Galilee. The Sea of Galilee was not a very big sea. It's more like a lake. And kind of the people that know a lot more about the Bible than I do, right, that this is probably their, like, This is like a 6 to 10 mile journey that they're on, and they're kind of stuck 3 or 4 miles out. So they've been out at sea for hours. And remember, some of Jesus' disciples, do you remember what their job was before they were disciples? Fishermen. These are trained boatsmen, trained like with the boat. Okay? And it says that they were out there for hours, and it said well into the night, they were in the middle of the sea. This should have just taken them like maybe a couple of hours, but this is, they're still in the middle of the sea, and they are straining against the oars. Okay? They're straining against the oars because the wind was against them. And then look at the second part of verse 48. Very early in the morning, he came toward them walking on the sea and wanted to pass by them. So Jesus was praying for them, but then Jesus saw them. He saw them straining against the oars, and he came to them. He came to them. It says, when did he come to them? Did he come to them when it was easiest? When it was bright already? He came to them very early in the morning. What most people say is this was like 3 a.m. At 3 a.m., how bright is it outside? It's super dark. If you stay up all night, even to 3 a.m., like even as a teenager, like you get kind of tired. We went to that ARC thing last week, and I know some of you guys didn't sleep like all night, but these guys were exhausted already. They stayed up all night. They're exhausted. It's 3 a.m., super dark, and Jesus comes to them. Storm, winds blowing all over. They're rocking all over in their boat, and Jesus comes to them. And I think that maybe there's some truth right there for you before we go on. Think about that. Like, Jesus came to his disciples in the midst of their hardest time. I know for you, maybe your hardest time is right now. Maybe nobody else knows how hard life is right now. And you would love for Jesus to come speak to you like he's coming to his disciples. He comes at the darkest time, very early in the morning. He came to them. How did Jesus come to them? In another boat? Did he come in another boat? Did he come in an airplane? No, he came how? Walking on the water. I love it. He came walking on the water. Does it say he came running on the water? Does it say he came swimming on the water? He came walking on the water. Put yourself in the disciples' shoes. Imagine you're on the boat with them. Imagine that Jesus has sent you. You're exhausted. And you know Jesus is coming. Wouldn't you expect him to come pretty rapidly? Like, I love that this passage says Jesus came walking to them. It even says that he intended to walk past them. Does that confuse you? That confuses me when I read it. Like, wait, why did Jesus want to pass them by? Like, wasn't his point to come and rescue them? And for me, if I'm writing the story, if I'm God, if I get to tell Jesus what to do, I would say, Jesus, I'm in a storm. My life is horrible. Everything is just the worst right now. Come running. Like, I want Jesus to come running to me. I want him to be, have you ever seen those lizards? The lizards that run on the water? You got the thing? There, you ever seen those guys? That's what I'm wanting. I'm wanting to tell Jesus, come running. It's a lizard, right? All right, we can take the lizard off. But that's what we're wanting sometimes. We're thinking, Jesus, you better come running to me. But Jesus comes walking calmly, under control, so much in control of that situation that it says he wanted to pass them by. And it doesn't say he wanted to pass them by. Like, some people think that might mean he didn't want them to see, but if what we know of Christ is he wants them to see who he is. And so he's going to pass them by. Imagine him walking by. The disciples are like, it's all about us, guys. We just got to keep on going. Just keep on putting in your best efforts, guys. Just keep your head down and row, row, row your boat, right? And Jesus is walking on the sea. And he's like, I'm going to just keep looking because I'm going to keep walking because they're not looking at me. And he says, I'm going to just pass them by until they all kind of see where I'm at. Thomas, you looking? Look at me. I'm floating on the water. And Jesus is trying to prove to his disciples, hey, I'm the God who's big enough to feed a multitude, but I'm also the God who's big enough to help you in the midst of your storms. Jesus is seeking to show himself fully to his disciples as the God who's in control of the good and the bad. So I love verse 49. Verse 49 is one of the best, funniest verses in scriptures. Read it. When they saw him walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost. They saw Jesus walking on the sea and they thought it was a ghost, right? Maybe a few of you know this story. So like Mary's family lives in South Carolina and we drive down there. It's like 500 something miles. It takes forever. We drove down there last summer to visit her family, had a great visit, but on the way there, kind of in the middle of nowhere, we broke down. Like the van, we were going up a mountain and the van was like, I'm out, man. Just, you got all you're getting out of me. It literally was like, it like made that sound. And I looked at Mary, she's like, I don't know. And we parted ways with the red van after that. But we pulled over to the side of the road, which is what you're supposed to do. We're on like the mountain. We have no phone signal. There are semis. Like we got a picture of it with a semi, like 55 miles an hour up this mountain next to our red van. We're on the side of the road. I have pool floaties because we're on the way to the South Carolina. I have pool floaties and I'm like waving people down like, hey, don't hit my van. It's got my babies inside, right? And it's like we can't have the air conditioner on because like stuff's leaking, we're like fire probably. And so finally a kind police officer shows up and I remember thinking, I'm waving him down. Ugh, this is the worst thing ever. I remember, I think I said these words to Mary, how could this get any worse, right? Like this is the worst. No phone signal, got our kids, they were still in diapers, so we're like littering poopy diapers in the grass because it was nasty. And the kids were screaming. They like, couldn't watch their movie. I remember, how could this get any worse? The police officer gets there, and he says, hey, buddy, yeah, we'll get somebody on the way. Hey, you might want to get back in your van, though, because we've been finding rattlesnakes around this area. And he showed me a picture of, I've got a little demonstration for you. He showed me a picture. This is a fake snake. But he showed me a picture of, like, his buddy was holding a rattlesnake like this, but it was, like, three times this thing's size. Like the head was all the way on the ground and then it was all the way up here. And the guy was taller than me, which is hard to imagine. And then the tail was also touching the ground. And the thing was like this big around. And he showed me on his phone. He said, yeah, we found this thing like a mile away from here last week. I'm like, okay, we're getting back in the van. And so my silly question was, how could this get any worse? And the answer was rattlesnakes, right? So back in the van. And I think that's what's happening for the disciples. They're in the boat. They're exhausted, just end of the world, thinking, man, Jesus is just up there praying. It's all about me. How could this get any worse? And I imagine maybe Peter leaned over to the Apostle John as they're rolling. He's like, man, how could this get any worse? And then the Apostle John goes, it's a ghost! And they see Jesus coming. They're like, it's a ghost! That's how crazy they were right there. They were exhausted, and the last thing on their mind is that Jesus is going to come and help me. And what is true for them is true for me sometimes. The last thing that I expect sometimes is that Jesus is going to come help me. Because what I tend to do is just, it's all about me. It's all, I got this. I got this effort. I'm not telling anybody, not asking anybody for help. It's all, broke my microphone. It's all about me. And what we need to learn from this passage is Jesus is right there. We need to look up from our oars, from our straining, and look at him. He's waiting for us to look up to him for help. They saw him, they thought he was a ghost, and they cried out, verse 50, because they all saw him and were terrified. But listen to this. Immediately, Jesus spoke with them and said, have courage, it is I, don't be afraid. Jesus identifies himself. Mary and I, we've been married for 10 years, and it'll be not 10 years yet, in November. Yeah, so 10 years, but still, like, we've been married for 10 years, and I still, like, accidentally scare Mary all the time. Like, I'll text her and say, hey, I'm coming home, I'll be there shortly, and I'll get home, and she'll be, like, totally forgot about it, and I'll walk in. She does that. It is the best. It's my favorite thing. Because I warned her, so, like, the scare gets to happen. Sometimes it happens even, like, if we're in the same house. Like, I love it. Like, sometimes I'll be in the other room, and she'll, like, get occupied. Like, she loves to, like, she has a sewing machine, and she'll listen to, like, music. That's music in sign language. Hey, you learned that tonight. What's music in sign language? Right. She'll be listening to music and sewing away. And I'll, like, walk and, like, try to, like, get her attention. And I'll be, like, and she jumps. She's like, it's the funniest thing. But the only thing that calms Mary, the thing that calms Mary the most in those moments is when she hears my voice. And she says, it's just me. She hears the loving voice of someone who cares for her. And that is what the disciples... That's what the disciples are experiencing when they hear the voice of Jesus. In the midst of their storm, in the midst of their freaking out, thinking they're being attacked by ghosts, Jesus says, don't be afraid. It is I. He says, I am with you. And these are the same words, if you are familiar with the Bible, that Jesus used in Exodus. When he told the people of Israel, I'm going to lead you out. And they say, how do we know who you are? He said, because I am. Like, he said, that's literally my name. I am. I've always been. I always will be. I am. And he says, I'm with you in your storm. Then, verse 51, this is the last thing. He got into the boat with them and the wind ceased. They were completely astounded because they had not understood about the loaves. Instead, their hearts were hardened. And I love that it ends with that part about their hearts being hardened, because these guys saw everything Jesus did with feeding 5,000, and yet they still didn't understand who he was, and their hearts were hardened. And that's sometimes where our hearts can be. When we go through a storm, we think, there's no way Jesus is showing up to be with me. Okay, we're going to do something a little bit different right now. So if you can't see the screen, you're going to need to see the screen. I'm going to show just a video that's kind of based on a scripture. This is from the book of Job. If you've ever read the book of Job, you know that Job went through suffering. We're good? Job went through a lot of suffering, and this was taken from Job 38 through 42, where God answers Job, where Job said to God, why are you not helping me? And God answers him. So this is from him. So we'll watch this video, and then I'll wrap us up as soon as this is over. Let's pay attention to this video.
I said, God, I do not understand this world. Everything is dying and broken. Why do I see nothing but suffering? God, I'm asking, could this be your plan? Sin has taken hold of this whole land. Will you not say anything else to me? He said, where were you the day that I measured, sunk the babes and stretched the line over all the earth and carved out its cornerstone? Where were you the day that I spoke and told the sun?
Okay, Jesus prays for you, Jesus sees you, Jesus speaks to you. Here's what I want you to think about. If you're here and you're a Christian, you need to receive that truth, okay? So Jesus speaks the truth to you. I want you to think, do you receive that truth? Like, do you often listen to his word? Do you listen to what he says in his word to receive it? Do you speak that truth to your brothers and sisters in Christ? They need to hear it. Okay? Jesus sees you. You need to embrace that truth. If you're a Christian, you need to embrace that Jesus sees where you're at. He knows exactly what you're going through, and he is in control of that. And he prays for you in the midst of that. So you need to see from God's perspective. You need to trust that God knows what he's doing. Also, you need to maybe ask God to help you see others' situations, because we all have situations that we're going through. And maybe for you tonight, God's application for you is that you would have the eyes to see what others are going through. A lot of times we get caught up and think one thing is the worst thing ever because we're only looking at our own life, and God wants us to look from others' perspectives. If you're here and you're not a Christian, here's the truth. You are in a storm and you are all alone, but the good Savior has come to save you. The good Savior has come, and he's crossed more than the sea. He's crossed all of heaven. He left heaven to come to you, to come and be in your storm, to come and take your storm and your God's wrath against you, God's hatred towards your sin upon himself, and he's come to offer you his righteousness. He's come to say, let me be your Lord and Savior. And he is waiting for you to look up. He's waiting for you to stop trying to fix everything on your own. He's waiting for you to look up at him and say, Jesus, come and be my Savior. Jesus, I trust in you. Come and save me. Come and cleanse me. Come aboard this ship. And before we pray, I want you to consider, are you going to let Jesus just pass you by, or are you going to call on him? Let's pray.